Yeah, I talk shit about coaching all the time. That's my job. I'm here to talk shit. I get paid money to talk shit about teams and then hear shit back and then spew it right back. But
a thankless job.
Yeah, right?
Hey, everybody. This is Allison Lucan, and we are back with episode 5 of Too Many Men, and as always, joined by the wonderfully amazing Shayna Goldman. Shayna, say hi.
Hi.
And of course, from as we're all homebound in Carolina, Sarah Sivian. Sarah, how are you?
I've seen some better days, I'll be honest with you. I've been quarantining by myself for 11 days now, but my roommate, shout out Abby and Chris, just got back with a bunch of food. So I'm thinking there's going to be some better days ahead. I miss my family, but it is what it is, right? At least I have my health. I'm luckier than most. How are you guys doing?
Shayna, how are you handling all of this? When we called this Too Many Men, they took it literally and took all the men off the sporting fields.
Yeah, right?
We keep like predicting the wrong thing.
We're that impactful.
Clearly. Shayna, how are things going though, in all seriousness?
I mean, they're going well. Knit a lot, and I've been doing a puzzle a lot because I'm 90 years old.
A lot of puzzle? Singular?
Doing a lot of a puzzle.
Oh, of a puzzle. Okay.
You know, I'm giving you daily updates of my fucking puzzle. That's how bored we are.
This is where we are, folks. This is where we are.
And how are you?
I'm hanging in. My poor husband and I have been self-quarantined since 2 Fridays ago? So yeah, here we are. And we're going to hopefully have an actual expert join us for maybe a special episode later this week to talk more about where we are with COVID-19, and that'll be out there just for people who want to learn more, understand more about why we're doing what we're doing. We'll have that coming out soon. But as we have committed to all of you awesome people who continue to listen and continue to buy merchandise, thank you so much. We want to bring some fun and levity and talk about what's going on in the world. And we have come up with some topics. Shayna, first of all, you brought up right away. Last week we talked about teams that were not taking care of their part-time employees, excuse me. And we did get a couple more updates after our episode recorded. So do you want to bring us up to speed there?
Yeah. So we have our shit list, and a couple teams moved off of it. The Minnesota Wild, I think right after we finished recording, came out that they were paying their employees instead of the Vegas Golden Knights. So you can cross them off. The Sabres fell, you know, even lower on our shit list. They are not paying their employees until the games are canceled. So every postponed game, they're not paying. And now they laid off even more employees. So they can fuck right off with that. The Bruins finally came out with a plan. They were the last team to do so, but it sucks. They're following the same path as the Sabres in that they are not paying employees until everything's canceled. So,
They need the money now.
I know.
Yeah. And if the games aren't canceled, you have rich people stay rich because they keep their money. But when you have, you know, what did we look it up? $3.6 billion. Share the wealth just a little bit. And the NHL is cutting salaries for employees. That was reported today by, I think, Emily Kaplan of ESPN. And this is the interesting one. The Devils and the Sixers were announcing salary cuts, and the Montreal Canadiens announced layoffs today. Both had plans in place to support their part-time employees, through the end of March, both of them. The Devils and Sixers, after there was so much pushback, actually came out and apologized and made it right, reversing their decision. So it sucks that they made the wrong call to begin with, but it's great to see that they can actually fix what they did wrong. And a lot of companies should be taking note, and teams should definitely take note there, because you can make a wrong situation right.
Yeah, I think that was huge too, because I mean, we know this in all aspects, like this is a copycat league. And I think with two teams and the league doing it today at first, like that's a pretty scary prospect. And I had a couple folks who work for different NHL teams reach out. They were kind of like, well, I guess now we're just waiting for our announcement too, right? And so with the Devils and the Sixers kind of changing that, I think it's huge that maybe this isn't going to be a massive, like, team by team just falls and does the exact same thing right away, you know?
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully it's not just everyone following each other's course and doing the wrong thing.
Sarah, all you can hope for. Hopefully not literally everybody does the wrong thing, right? The bar is on the floor.
Yeah.
The bar is on the floor. We're on the floor from being at the bar in our homes.
Like, worst limbo ever.
Sarah, what has been your reaction watching all of this go from a team by team and league perspective?
I'm like those anti-drug commercials where the people are on their couch, like, deflated. I don't know if you've ever seen those. But that's just how I feel in general right now.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. I just hope everybody does the right thing. I'm glad that I can report that the Hurricanes are doing the right thing. But the people need to get paid right now. Like, this is the time of crisis. The whole point of not suspending their pay is to pay them accordingly right now. Like, right. The games aren't coming back. Let's get real.
Right.
Yep.
Right. I mean, it's just, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, it's people like your part-time workers, your staff people who are also supporting the local business and ordering out at restaurants, and it all just feeds each other. I can't imagine how some of these people who are in really, really dire straits and particularly have multiple mouths to feed. I just can't. It's got to be so scary. So, so scary.
Yeah. Definitely agree with you there.
But, yo, good on the Devils and the Sixers. Like,
good for, like, admitting that you're wrong. God, that's rare these days.
And they did it. It was quick. It was within hours. It's not like they waited and waited, and they reversed the decision. They came out with a, you know, strong statement apologizing and outright saying, we did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's so huge to just admit, you fucked up. We're sorry. Like, we shouldn't have fucked up in the first place. Yeah. Don't make excuses. You did. We fucked up. We're fixing it. Great.
Yeah. And that's, and like, to do it so quickly, like you said, and to be so, I thought it was quite a transparent statement from the club, honestly.
Yeah.
And to,
that's what got me.
Because how you do something, I think, is just as important. Like, some of these teams, even like, how long did it take the Bruins to say something? Like, it didn't take you that long to figure this out.
Yeah. And if it did, you could just say, like Tom Dundon did, hey, we have a plan, or we're making a plan. Just give us a second. So just so you know that it's like, these people can have like anti-anxiety.
Exactly. That's so true. Like, not knowing, that's terrible. Right. So like, although, and then Marissa reported too, that even after that announcement, did you see that employees still had not heard anything? Like, the statement went out, but that's great and all, but how do they like file? How do they, I mean, it's insane.
Yep. She covered it so well. Got to give a huge shout out to everything Marissa's doing at the Boston Herald. She's kicked ass on the storyline with the Bruins and everything going on and speaking to employees.
Absolutely.
That's my baby. That was awkward. Go for it.
Amazing. Well, let's shift to some hockey talk. There's a lot of people are doing this, but we thought that since our opinions are usually better and right anyway, that we would offer ours on the NHL awards that usually get handed out at the end of the season. And as this goes on, this, we may have seen the end of the season, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. The Athletic did do a poll. None of us voted in it. So Sarah was busy, and Shayna and I.
I'm going to be honest. I'm like mentally ill right now, and I think that's actually helping people to admit. But yes, it's been a kind of rough time. I'm like, all the notifications, I'm like, I can't even look at any of these notifications. But we're on our way back to recovery. So that's why I didn't participate.
Shayna and I were not able to. Let's start with the heart. Top three. Well, first, let's have this conversation. The heart is the MVP award. Yes, we all know this. Should your team have to make it to the playoffs to be nominated for the heart? Sarah?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Big no is all around.
No.
Because isn't the point, even like, I'm thinking someone like Panarin, like, maybe the reason they didn't make it is because they had to rely on one person so heavily, and that's the point of being the most valuable player, right?
Totally. I completely agree. But it, like, it just amazes me that people think that should matter. You know?
It maybe to an extent. If you're 28th in the league, you have Connor McDavid on your team, and he literally cannot drag your asses up the standings, I understand it, because you're not going to see that value as much as you might want to, and whatever. But if you're a team that's in the wild card mix and you just fall short, you know, I know Nathan MacKinnon on the Avalanche, it was the conversation a couple years ago when they didn't make it, right?
Right, right.
So clearly the most valuable player to his team. You are not necessarily the best player, but you most likely are like one of the best. You might not have the support, but the bottom line is this trophy is the most valuable player. What is your impact on this team? And if you're a player like Artemi Panarin, your impact is huge. You aren't surrounded by superstars. This next best player is Mika Zibanejad, and he missed time, and he kept on going. And here's the other big part. They don't play together at even strength.
Exactly.
I'm gonna like, tell
that's
Hank,
why I would vote for him.
I'm gonna tell Hank that you said he's not a superstar, Shayna.
I mean, they barely play Hank.
I'm just telling you.
Lundqvist is a superstar in his own right, and he could have won that trophy literally every year the Rangers were in the playoffs. It could have been his every single year, because they did nothing and he was doing all the things, but no one noticed.
So I think we are all saying we have Panarin as one of our top three for the heart, correct?
Yeah, he's my
in
number
conclusion.
One.
Yeah. And like, I don't, this sucks for all of these things at every level of sport, right? But like, until you watch Panarin all the time, or any player really, like, you don't know how good he is.
Exactly. Right?
Like, and that's, I know, like, this is the same thing as stupid college football polls and everything. Like, how much of this have you actually seen before you make your votes or nominations? But like, it just, I said this when this whole conversation started, like, I don't think that Panarin gets the respect he should get across the league still. And he's played in two of the biggest markets and he still doesn't get it. It just blows my mind. If you have not truly watched Artemi Panarin play, you should, because it's pretty impressive in my opinion.
Yep. We spoke about this a lot. Yeah. When he went from Columbus to the Rangers, like, he's a player that I watched a ton with Chicago and Columbus because, you know, I liked his game from when he came into the league and I knew he was outstanding. And, you know, Columbus, I take a special focus on because of everything Allison writes. You know, it makes me watch them more than I already did. So now to watch him every single game and get into the nitty gritty, last offseason, I wrote a story, should the Rangers pay him?
And what was my answer?
To put it so simply, pay him. Like, whatever he wants, pay him. He's that good. He's good offensively. He drives play. He can pass. He's shooting the puck more this year. And he's good defensively. Like, there's everything you could want, you know. Coaches and teams, I talk about compete and battling and all of that. Like, he is the player you want in every single situation because he's that good and he doesn't stop playing. So, you know, if you don't watch him and you're bored during this break, NHL TV is free for the year. Go watch him. Just go watch his games. Watch everything he does because it's so much fun every time he's on the ice.
Okay, I have a controversial take, and I had this, I will put this idea forth for consideration. So I was talking to someone in women's college hockey about the Patty Kazmaier Award, which goes to the best player that year. And this person and I were talking about how it's so interesting that, like, in the Heisman race, like, schools put together literal campaigns to campaign for their player to be nominated for the Heisman. Like, they send shit out to voters. Like, it's a literal marketing campaign thing that happens. But it doesn't happen for other major awards. At the professional level, should teams basically be able to put out, like, a promo, like, a four-year consideration package on players?
Yeah. I think they do that with men's college hockey, too, right? Or is, like, with the Hobie Baker? Or am I making that up?
Well, I don't know if they do, like, and I only...
I know Penn State did because nobody knew about Penn State at the time.
True. I don't know if it's, like, in the Heisman culture, it's, like, a thing. Like, which blew my mind the first year I was around it at Ohio State and saw it. Like, there's, like I said, there's literal mailers and, like, fact sheets and updates that go out to voters, like, pay attention to this player.
Okay, that's different, yeah.
Like,
yeah. It shouldn't be overdone, but I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, look, if a player's going to the All-Star game or they want them to be nominated, teams put together, you know, social media things. And,
interesting.
You know, they have, like, it's small tidbits, and in hockey, like, it's obviously much smaller than in other sports. I know for baseball, when they campaign for players, it's on a much bigger scale, and it shows the difference between hockey and other sports. But there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you look at Alex Ovechkin, this entire year he's going, that's John Norris. I'm not referring to him as John Carlson, that's John Norris, and he's done it. And the team jumped on it too a bit, but they could take it up a notch. Obviously, you know, a team like the Rangers could be talking about how good Panarin is without it being a slight at his teammates, but be saying he's our most valuable player. Have the players talk about what makes him so good and like add in little bits and pieces. Why not?
Because like, I mean, Shayna accepted because Shayna literally knows like every player in the NHL and their favorite color and what their last play was and what line they were on. But like, Sarah, I don't know about you, but I'm not as familiar as I could be with every single player's, like even every first line, first pair starting goaltender game in the league. Like, it's such a hard ask.
Yeah, that's not our job. Right. Our job is to be experts on one team.
Right.
And of course, I pay attention to, I probably know a lot about every single player in the Metro.
For sure.
But like, and then you start to get out west and it's like, yeah, people have a point with the whole East Coast bias and stuff like that, but it's, it is kind of like we should have, I think, a good idea to have like a package that maybe like the West sends to the East and the East sends to the West.
It's so, yeah. It's fast. Cause it, I mean, and we're going to, okay. So we all agree Panarin. Who are folks' other top picks for the Hart, even though we've decided Panarin should get it regardless?
I'd put McKinnon in.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of injuries in Colorado and he's kept on going and, you know, he's fantastic every year. And they lost Rantanen twice this year. He lost Landeskog for some time. They were without Makar. Grubauer got hurt and Francouz had to take over. Burakovsky got hurt for a minute. Kadri, you know, you go down the line and he just keeps on going. He's their best player. And they've been a team to watch the entire year, no matter who's out of the lineup, because you're watching McKinnon.
It's true. It's true. Sarah, do you have any other picks for Hart?
I mean, I feel like I have to pick Dreisaitl just because it's like I have to toss him in there somewhere and be like, yep, yeah, he deserves it. He's like living in the shadow, like Ashley Simpson of Connor McDavid, and now he's emerged. And I'm like, good for you. Go off, Leon.
That's fantastic.
Spread your wings and learn how to fly.
Now, speaking of bias, and I actually am working on an article, if anyone would like to host it anywhere, about how we evaluate defensemen, because nothing pisses me off more than our next award, which is the Norris Trophy, which in theory is supposed to go to the best defenseman, but goes to the defenseman who scored the most points.
Yeah.
Usually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
that's something I'm passionate about. I would love to read that article.
Yep. Me too.
Because I mean, first of all, look, we do not have a good way to measure defense. It's hard to measure something that you prevent, right? But
right.
Like, the job of a defenseman isn't to score. That's great. But like, it's just silly. I hate it. I hate it so much. And every year they pick, and it's nothing against the player they pick, but it's just such a silly judgment call every single year.
And also, the player they pick is never the player at the right time. Drew Doughty won
for
in a
sure.
year that it wasn't his year. PK Subban wins. He should have won, you know, a different year. Now it's Victor Hedman's year, and you kind of can see the narrative going, and it's players who had fantastic past seasons, or maybe they're having a very good season and they have, like, a big name, but it's always
all about reputation.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, maybe if you just gave the award to the player in the correct year they're supposed to win, everyone would be happy.
Interesting. Okay, so now that we've told you how much this award sucks, who are our picks for the Norris this year?
Let's give an honorary mention right now to the person who should have won it.
Yep.
Was on pace to win it. I think was all of our picks to win it before an injury cut his season short, which is so unfortunate. But had he not gotten hurt, it was Dougie Hamilton's to lose.
Poor Dougie. Oh, my God. And I'm like, the way that he evolved to, he has somebody like Rod Brind'Amour calling him the best player on the team, the team's MVP. And I'm like, for him to earn somebody like Rod Brind'Amour two-way games trust, and to, like, he'd never played more minutes. He'd never played on the PK before. I'm sure he had at some point in his life. But for him to be on Brind'Amour's PK, it's like, that's the Brind'Amour, like, power play, you know? God, and he was just cut, like, I don't know. I feel really bad. That's a shame. But then if he can't win it, no one can, I guess, because the season's over.
Well, listen, okay, so, but this is a good question. Like, how many games should a player have to play to be eligible? Not eligible. I know that that's not really a thing. But, like, should Dougie Hamilton still get votes?
It's tough. Yeah, at this point, probably not. Maybe if you played like 2/3, if you missed like 20 games, I feel like you could deal with it. But at this point, like, I think he's stuck at what, 45, 46, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
But the good news is he's probably going to be ready for the playoffs if the playoffs resume.
Ever.
Ever.
If there's just ever hockey again, guess who's going to be there? Dougie Hamilton.
All right, so after Dougie, who else is in our field?
Roman Josi.
Oh,
Yep.
yeah. Yeah,
Roman
yeah.
Josi, like, it's funny because you talk about points. He has, you know, he's not too far behind John Carlson. I think he's, is he second in points?
I think so.
But yeah, I think he's leading or one of the leaders in game score value added. He's one of the
Yeah.
best in terms of goals above replacement. And I know it was on Fox Sports Tennessee. It was Lindsey Railly, Willie Donick, and Chris Mason did a segment on it using Dom Lucician's game score value added to talk about why Roman Josi should be the pick for the Norris. And they nailed it. Like, he's doing everything. You could talk about a player that's evolved and taken strides. He's so good on both ends of the ice. And, you know, even when Nashville was struggling, he was their best player.
Yeah.
Can I also say, I think it's hilarious that everyone ignores advanced analytics until the player on their team is like
Yeah,
number two
good.
to
I know.
be the Norris winner.
It's so true. Now we like them. Now we like those stats. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I
So,
think as much as it's not about points, I think Carlson makes a really good case for himself. I
yeah.
think he was just so versatile and all around, just absolutely
Yeah.
just blew that the roof off the place every night.
Yeah, and I mean that was at a rate, particularly at the start, that was, to your point, like,
Historic.
yeah, like that did demand notice and attention, because that was like not just a defenseman having a lot of points, that was like insane.
It really was. Yeah,
he'll probably win it, but like, even if we
Who, Carlson
considered
or Yossi?
Carlson, I think Carlson, like, you know, it's from the
He
start and
deserves
everyone
it.
had it. But I mean, I wouldn't have a problem. He would be in like my top four because
Yeah.
I think I'm stuck between Carlson, Josi, Hedman, and Pietrangelo as my top four. And I think all four deserve like the nod, and I would give it to Josi, but I won't be surprised if Carlson is the winner, and I've no doubt he'll be in the top three just because of that start.
The only other player award that we put on our short list, and we can come up with reasons why this all we're just going to call this "Why These Awards Suck" segment here, is the Calder, which goes to the best rookie
Oh,
player
God.
in the league. Shayna, you noted some possible issues with the Calder.
Yeah, there seems to be some bias against players playing the NCAA. I think you have two issues. I think college players are sometimes, you know, there's bias against them from when they're drafted. They'll go later than when they should. And the other part is age. You hear talked about a lot. You know, are they 18? Are they
Oh, God.
21? Are they 24? And sometimes that makes a difference. And I guess I understand if they're playing in a professional league, like the KHL, which is the next best league,
Right.
and they're 25 years old and you have an issue with it.
Right.
You know, but if you're 21 coming out of college, does that have to be a knock on you that you're not 18? You know, I think that's my biggest issue.
So your picks are.
My picks. Makar is going to win it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I would say it would be Makar. I would put Adam Fox second. Yes, I'm biased
Oh.
in it. Yeah, whatever. I'm biased, but he, I have no problem saying it, but like the fact is he's playing on a god
He's
awful
been awesome.
defensive team. Yeah, he's the Rangers' best defenseman by far, and he's been great on both sides of the puck. And it's not only that, it's not like he's playing with some all-star defender to get his feet wet either. You know, at first he was being shifted around. He played with Brady Shea, Mark Stahl. But then he played with Ryan Lindgren, another kid, and the two of them have been the most reliable. I would be giving him 20 something minutes a night, no question, if I was the Rangers coaching staff, because I think he can handle it. So the fact that he's been so good and as a two-way player, and he, I guess, he's been consistent the entire year. I think that's a big part of it. I would put him in it. So I would say you could easily go Quinn Hughes, Makar, and Adam Fox, and Makar's going to win it. I don't think Fox actually gets into the top three. I know, like, if Elvis Merzlikins played and didn't get injured, he would be in my top three right there. And the other one to consider for me is Mackenzie Blackwood. What do you think?
Yeah, that was kind of a time to be alive with Mackenzie Blackwood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like they managed him weirdly, but I also think maybe it's they're easing him in his rookie year and they didn't know what was about to happen, but he kind of went off there. So good for you, Mac Blackwood. But I hate this. I hate the Calder, and I'm hating this so much because I love all these little wait, don't put that in. I was gonna say I love all these little boys. I think that they're all doing amazing, sweetie. And good job, all of you. This is like one of the best Calder
for sure
races in a very long time, and it's all NCAA defensemen, so it's really hard for me to pick a favorite because that's just my thing. That's what I love.
How great is it that they're all defensemen though too? I just finished ranting about defensemen. Like I get personal joy that it's all defensemen.
And John Marino at another defenseman and right there if he didn't miss
time. Yeah, dude. That he's like good for everybody. I hope for them all. The friends we made along the way.
Who do you pick, Allison?
I'm definitely a Cale Makar guy. Girl, whatever I am.
Jeez, wow, you're sexist.
I've been in a house for too long.
I know, dude.
No, I think it's him. I was curious to see, to your point, Shayna, if Elvis would get attention, but I think the injury definitely took away the spotlight that maybe he would have needed. Because again, there's no campaigning. But I like Mackenzie Blackwood, and I like, again, diversity of position. I like thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. But you know what? I don't think Quinn Hughes is getting enough credit here at all.
It's true. I would agree. I would agree.
I think it would be very hard for me to decide. I guess I might. It's gonna come the time where I have to. But hard for me to decide between Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar. Yeah. I'm really enjoying enjoying them duke it out there. If you think about, this is not how the votes go, but if you think about who's going to have a higher ceiling in years to come, you don't know, maybe Makar, I don't know, but it's like, it's just going to be so much fun to watch them for the next few decades.
And that's the thing too. Like I think back to when Steve Mason won the Calder and then like he flamed out. Right. It's such an interesting award. Anyway, the last award we're going to do, and I can rail on this one also, is the Jack Adams, which goes to the best coach in the league. And I am here owning that it's the team I cover and owning that this is probably not going to happen, that John motherfucking Tortorella deserves this award this season. And I know it's going to go to Mike Sullivan probably, but for the love of God, if you paid attention to what happened in Columbus, the talent that left, the insurmountable number of injuries over, it was 420 man games lost. They were averaging 6 players out of the starting lineup every game and had 10 or more players out for 10% of the season. And they were in a playoff spot when the league hit pause. Like, that's insane.
Okay. I know this is kind of just like a basic, stupid question, but obviously that's a good case for him, but I'm wondering like how much of an impact what can coaches do to have an impact on making injuries not matter? It's just the way they slot players and like the time on ice and things like that, or motivation, or what do you think it is?
It's a great question. I think for Torts in particular, so the Blue Jackets were also one of the top 2 teams in terms of youth and number of rookies playing. And so I think when you talk about the ability to prepare those players, have them be effective in a system, build a system that allows them to be effective. And then, you know, a big thing that players talk about, to me at least, is, you know, the ability to motivate, to help draw focus, prepare a team to play. His ability to do that is kind of insane. And so those would be the factors I would see, but I am very welcome to other opinions on that.
I would agree with all that, and I'm going to add in, this obviously isn't a consideration, but I think it should be a part of the discussion because Torts is my pick. There's no question about it. I think Mike Sullivan's going to get a nod. David Quinn would be an interesting one to get a nod for me. I think that the Rangers have some.
Love him.
Yeah, there's some issues with their coaching this year.
Shayna.
Yeah, I talk shit about coaching all the time. That's my job. I'm here to talk shit. I get paid money to talk shit about teams and then hear shit back and then spew it right back. But
a thankless job.
Yeah, right. Quinn, the thing is, the Rangers did make tactical adjustments. I think it was around December. They kept their pairs in place. They figured out what worked as best as it could. You know, some of the kids did get those opportunities. I think that things went a little wonky with Kako this year, and they weren't sure how to coach him, but you can see it with Fox and Lindgren and Zibanejad, and figuring out how Ryan Strom and Foss would work with Panarin, which is, you know, you could argue that shouldn't be a thing every day. And I'm one of those people that argued maybe it shouldn't be a thing every day, but you can't argue that it worked. And that team should have been much lower in the standings and shouldn't have been in the playoff mix, and the way that they came together. And the biggest thing with him, and it, you could see it last year at the end of the year when the team was much worse, was their resiliency and how they would come down in these games and they'd manage to come back. And the biggest one this year was that one against Montreal. They came back, and it was much more of a statement, you know, coming from a Quinn team, and it's something that was a big difference from years past. But I would give it to Torts. And I think the thing that we should be talking about with him also is his evolution as a coach, mm-hmm. because he was someone that was as traditional as it got, had some issues, you know, as defensive, the biggest defensive team in New York. There were obvious issues in Vancouver. He stepped away. He learned what he was doing wrong and decided, let me expand my mind a bit. And this something else. And you wrote about, you know, it's one of my favorite stories you did, is about how the Columbus Blue Jackets use analytics and how they have data-driven decision-making. And Tortorella spoke about tracking scoring chances and things like that. That's, if you told me that 10 years about Tortorella, I'd probably laugh in your face. But he learned and figured out what works, and let me expand my mind and my coaching and figure out how to be better. And he's done that with Columbus.
Sarah.
I came in here thinking Mike Sullivan, but I think you guys have like convinced me otherwise. I just think,
I mean, he did an incredible job. Point
about his
job.
Evolution. I think I'd still vote for Mike Sullivan just underneath the circumstances and everything. And that tweet, that's like, every time you look at the Penguins, they have Mark Donk and Lubbert or whatever, and they're like scoring 30 points on Crosby's wing. But
so true.
I think, well, they come from the same school of thought, Sully and Torts.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, that's working, being kind of a hard ass, but also being a human being, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that Torts has definitely learned that, it seems at least. And I like, I love the evolution and the growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, and yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Mike Sullivan because he's done a tremendous job.
Yeah.
And, but I think too that there was an overall buoying of talent on that roster that maybe Columbus didn't necessarily have, yeah. even when Crosby was out. And there were significant...
Malkin, no yeah. problem. Let me just go 1,000 points per game. No no worries, yep. guys. Got it.
Exactly. But yeah, if Mike Sullivan gets it, I'm certainly not going to be mad about it. So,
yeah.
On to our player superlatives as selected by the illustrious Shayna Goldman. this week, we are picking first... the player with the best pets. Sarah, go.
Oh my God. Well, David Backus has like 20 dogs, and he has a dog foundation yes. to like foster animals. I've donated to it a few times because I think it's awesome what he does. I might have to give that to him, but at the same time, Lucas Walmart's pug is the cutest little chubbiest thing I've ever seen. So we're going to, yeah. And also Justin Williams just got a really cute dog, so him too.
Everybody's getting dogs. It's crazy.
I know. Except me.
It's only a matter of time. You can do fostering like Marat did.
No. Yep. I need a boyfriend first. Any takers?
I think it's easier to take care of a dog.
True.
Shayna, best pet for the Rangers?
I would give it to Jacob Trouba. He has like this adorable, I don't even know fully what kind of dog this is. It's like a little wolf pup. And if you go on his Instagram, it's absolutely positively adorable. So, I mean, I want to give all the dogs the rankings, but I'm giving it to Trouba's.
Yeah. So in Columbus Blue Jacket world, it's not only necessary to have a cute pet, but it is also necessary to have an Instagram for your cute pet to be in consideration. And so because of that, I'm going to pick Elvis Merzlikin's dog, Kobe, who not only has an Instagram, but does full on narration of the entire family's life, Elvis and his girlfriend and the dog. So we're going to go with Kobe, but I must go outside the team. And have you guys seen Lawson Krause's dog?
Who's?
Lawson Krause.
No.
Okay. I'm sending you this dog's Instagram. It's flipping hilarious. It's amazing. It's like a little What's the what are the things that look like pugs but aren't pugs but still have that like flat face? It's right on the
French
tip.
French Bulldog?
Yes, it's one of those, and it's amazing. Shayna, do you have
another
one? I
also want to give a shout out to Matt Murray's ginormous dogs.
Oh, they're insane. They are so insane.
I think he has two
of
them.
Oh my God, no. Yeah.
And he's so tall and thin, and he just has these massive dogs, and I love it.
Wait, also, Zach Aston Reese just got a new dog, and I know because I follow him, and it's absolutely adorable.
Yeah, Scott Harrington just got this little puppy this weekend, and it's insane, and does have an Instagram, so God bless. Most superstitious player on the team, Shayna. Who do you think?
Henrik Lundqvist.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, his superstitions have been talked about for years. Like, I remember years ago, I think it was Brian Boyle talking about it. Like, he couldn't even be in the same room because he, like, would try to make him laugh or try to have a conversation with him. And it was like, nope, not happening. Don't talk to Lundqvist on game day. Don't get in his face. Stay out of his way. Let him do his routine. He is incredibly superstitious.
Okay. Sarah?
Well, I tried to do this story, and I actually just read about it in my, like, blooper story, but I went up to Ryan Dzingel. I'm like, do you have any superstitions? And he's like, nope, the season's too long. I always drink iced coffee. And Tavo Teravainen's like, nope, just normal guy, take a nap. I'm like, okay, who has weird superstitions? And then Dzingel was like, Hall is weird. Go talk to him. So I'm like, okay, hi, Eric. Do you have any weird superstitions? I hear you're weird. And he's like, nope. And then I'm like, does anybody? And Dougie, I think, was injured at the time, so I didn't get to ask him. But I know that he is out there stretching like an hour before every game. That's not really weird. That's like very normal. But he does something different. And I've heard that Nino is – I mean, I did a player poll, and they all said Nino is the most superstitious. He changed his stick like every day.
Interesting.
One time I tried to ask Rod Brindamore about that. I'm like, well, do you think it's interesting that he was in a drought and kept changing his stick and then he scored? And he was like, oh, is that what happened? I don't know. So this question leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
for the Blue Jackets, I don't know why, but this is just my read. And I almost like feel bad saying this, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think Cam Atkinson is probably super superstitious. But you know who's crazy superstitious? Or maybe he's just more public about it? Is Matt Duchene. Like, he has to...
Oh, I've seen an article about this.
Yeah, Porty wrote it last year. Like, he has to nap at the... It's all about nines. Everything's about the number nine. And, like, he has to sit on the bench when, like, the clock is at a nine. It's all, like... And he has to nap at a nine time. Like, it's crazy. So, Matt Duchene is super superstitious. Moving on.
Not just a little stitious.
Little stitious, superstitious, medium stitious.
It's a quarantine, baby. We're cracking dad jokes.
We are not adding a dad joke section. I am sorry.
Nope.
I will quit first.
Nope. I will too.
Okay. Fuck, marry, kill. Shayna, you are up first. Here are your choices. 24-team playoff format. August-September playoffs. Or standard 16-team format?
All right. Okay, so it's hard because it might, like, one answer might contradict the other because, like, I'm going to start like this. I'm killing the August-September playoff idea.
Yes, which, terrible.
Yeah, and this might...
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, no offense, but I want to go see my family.
I want a life.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the challenge with it is, like, no matter what these formats that we're talking about, like, it might come down to if they're going to happen, it's August or September, so... Like, keeping that in mind, I'm still killing it. There is not enough time to turn around for the next season. You put your body through hell to go through the playoffs. And then to say, you had a month, we're speeding it up, next season's going on, and they don't want to impact next season at all, which I completely, totally understand and agree with, unless they're saying, mm-hmm. we're cutting it down by 5-10 games. I feel like that could be negotiated with. But, you know, they really don't want to screw with it. I agree. You don't want it that now. You mess up 1 year of playoffs, and you push off the season 1 year. It can have a trickle-down effect for years to come until you're, like, settled and right. So you don't want that. The 16-team format, I'm going to say I'll fuck. But I do have, like, one contingent thing. I think everyone needs to get to an even number of games.
Yes.
And then you take the 16. Yeah. So maybe that even number of games is 70 games. Or, you know, whatever, whoever has the most, maybe they get one more and everyone has to play up to that. So that's what I would go with. And then... I would marry the 24-team playoff format because I do like this idea, and it's a way, instead of having everyone play for it, just let the teams that didn't make it right now duke it out and try to make it in because they all have a shot, and I think it would be super chaotic and is something that we need. And I'm not saying the playoffs aren't serious and all of that stuff, but if you want to add like a fun twist to it, that could be it.
Okay. Sarah, your choices.
I'm going to marry the 24-team format. I used to not be on board with that, but now I think it's hilarious. Like, I want the Red Wings to win the 2019-2020 Stanley Cup. I'm rooting for that. Obviously, they're not in the 24 team, but like, just I want the worst team to just be like, screw you guys, we're going to win. Whatever, it's been a tough year. We need something crazy to happen. I would kill August, September, because like, I would lose my mind. I'm just being honest. And I don't know, I guess I'd get through it. It's not the worst thing to do. I have to go to a hockey game, but like, I thought I'd be able to come home right now, and I'm not. And it's just like, I really would love to hug my mom. So NHL, don't make me not hug my mom.
Best and reason ever.
I would fuck the 16 team playoff, because that's just like, that's fine.
I have no different picks than either of you. And I would only add that for the August and September playoffs, I would kill them, because like the compression of what still has to happen then between that and then the start of the season on time is stupid. That's just
dumb. It's not going to be good hockey, and everyone's going to be rushed and miserable.
Well, and what if you
I know that like some of the players wanted it, but I think they would regret it. I'm just going to talk like I'm their moms. I don't think.
Well, and what if someone
such
gets
a good idea, mister?
What if someone gets hurt in September?
Yeah.
It affects their trade value. They don't get like the trickle down is just
show.
it's insane. It's insane.
And what's the likelihood of you getting hurt early in the next season now because you just played so close, you know, or you didn't let it heal, or you know, that's a lot on goaltenders too. We talk about it. You think like Cam Talbot a couple of years ago in Edmonton, and it's like, oh my God, they ran him into the ground and then they broke him.
Right.
That's gonna happen to so many goalies.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. Okay, we've got another one here. This is a rule-based one. Fuck, marry, kill, Sarah, offside, icing, or puck over the glass.
This is so rude. I just, like, this is so mean. But I guess it's the quarantine, so I'll take what I can get. Like, times are desperate. But we got to stay 6 feet away somehow. Let me think. Well, you didn't say offside review. You just said offside.
Correct.
So I will... I'll marry icing because you know what, we all get tired sometimes, catch a little breather, it'd be a nice relaxing little skate through life. I would fuck offsides because I just can't stand puck over the glass. That I would kill because I would never live with myself. I couldn't be able to look at myself the next morning if I did puck over the glass. I'd have to check myself into like therapy forever.
Shayna.
I'm gonna marry icing too. That's definitely like my go-to move. Like if I'm playing, whether it's like real life or like if I'm playing like NHL, I'm pissed. I'm icing the puck or I'm taking a penalty. One or the other's happening, and then I'm gonna have to dig myself out from the hole and it's fine. But like I know that would be like my go-to. I fucking hate both of the other two. Like, I don't want to kill them both. Okay, I know we said it doesn't have to do with the reviews, but when I think offside, all I think about is the offside reviews. And, oh, my God, I hate them so much. I get why the rule's there.
I know.
I understand. But it's too much that I have to kill it. It's ruined everything. Sorry, offside. You're out. And I'll fuck puck over glass because, like, you know, accidents happen. And, you know, like, maybe you're like, oh, yeah, just popped over. Whoops.
See, and that's why I have to kill puck over the glass, because like I literally this season I turned to Aaron Porcine. I was like, just get rid of the rule. It's the stupidest rule ever. Like, it's just dumb, because I get it why it was originally put in place, but like it just totally kills play sometimes for something that's not even intended, right? Like I just think
it's like it's not as much of a delay of game as the penalty delaying the game is.
Exactly. So I'm killing puck over the glass. I am going to, oh, this is sucks. I'm going to marry. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change things up. I'm going to marry offsides because I feel like through a long-term relationship, we can change the behavior and come okay. together. And fuck icing because it just pisses me off. But I get it. So those are my choices. We have one non-hockey fuck, marry, kill. Thanks, as always, to our listeners for continuing to submit these. I'm going to make Shayna go last. Sarah, you're going to go first.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Pie, cake, or ice cream?
Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm going to kill ice cream. Unless it's like dairy-free, I like that stuff. I would... But I hate cake, too. I'm not really... I like cookies, but I will fuck cake because it's like nice and... soft, I guess. I would marry pie. Apple pie hits the spot on a good day, especially my mom's. Like, everybody has that one pie, and it just reminds me of, like, good vibes, good Thanksgiving vibes.
Yeah, I will marry pie because it's so versatile, right? Like, you can make so many different pies. So I'm going to marry pie. Oh, this is... You know what? I'm actually not a super big cake person. I enjoy cake. But here's the thing with cake. Like, a good or a bad icing can totally make or break the cake. So,
oh, absolutely.
So cake is far too dependent on variables it cannot control. And as Nadine Muzrall of Ohio State likes to say, we control our controllables. So I'm going to kill cake. And I'm going to fuck ice cream. Yes. Shayna?
Fair. Okay. I go last because I am the garbage person here when it comes to snacks. I'm going to marry ice cream. Big ice cream fan. You can have it like soft serve, regular. There's so many flavors, the toppings. And I really like that, you know, you can like do whatever you want with it. And there's so many options with ice cream. So I'm going to marry that. I agree with you guys on cake. And icing's a big thing. And the other thing is like it can get really dry really quickly.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah. So like I like cakes that are like layered with icing in between. And I'm a very big cupcake person because you can inject it with icing before you ice the top and have filling, or you can do that thing where you cut the cupcake in half and flip it upside down so that it's like a sandwich and the icing's in the middle, so it's like you're not just eating dry cake. But pie wins. You know, there's so many. You can have sweet, you can have things with fruit, you can have chocolate pudding pie, like that's got to be it. So I'm gonna fuck pie and I'm gonna kill cake.
There you have it. Final category, as always, my friends, is alternate, is our top three, and our top three that we're going to discuss is the top three alternate jerseys. And I have to say before we do this, and Shayna, you're one of these people who's very, very passionate about the jerseys. So we apologize in advance, even though all of our takes are still correct, which I'll probably hate myself for saying after we start. but Shayna, you're big on the jersey opinions whenever they're released. So what are your top three alternates?
Let's see. It's just I like talking shit. And I like fashion. So you pair them together and you're talking shit about the NHL's fashion. There you go. Top three. Arizona with the Kachina jersey.
Ooh.
I love it. I love everything about it. It's chaotic. There's the pattern on the sleeve that separates the stripe, I think, is so fun. And, you know, it's something that was taken away and brought back and people still love it so much. Like, and the way that you can goaltenders with their pads and their helmets to go along with it. The designs like Kemper and Ronta have come up with are so good too that it like really completes the look. So that's one. Two is Calgary. It's another retro look, but that should be their home jersey in my opinion. They should go back to that being home and then do an away version of it. I don't love the black sleeves that they have as their standard home jersey. And you know, the red and the yellow, it pops, it's bright, it's vibrant. And I feel like there's so many black jerseys in this league and you know, no one else has really, so I would go with that. And I really do like Winnipeg's outdoor game one, but that's not their alternate, and I think their alternate kind of sucks. So I'm gonna go with the Hurricanes black jerseys.
Because I love the Hurricanes black jerseys.
They're pretty good.
They're so good. They
still love them.
Yeah, I see why. They brought in like things that they had the black jersey a couple years ago, and this is like a nice version of it that it's like it's more updated, and you know it complements their home jersey really well. Like that, I actually love their home jersey too, so that's what I'm gonna go with.
Sarah,
Okay, and if Shayna like loves jerseys, I never have opinions on them. I'm just like, I can't wear them. What's the point? But like, do the Canucks still have the ones that are like the yellow and the red, like a yes. hot dog?
Oh yeah,
yes.
That's their.
Those are my number one.
Is that their alternate this year? Or is it the other one? They've worn it.
It
they
was,
had like five
I know that they've
jerseys,
worn it.
Right?
The black one, yeah. the old retro. Oh, you with the skate one.
Yeah, I love those.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great.
Those are sweet. Yeah. Those are their heritage okay. jerseys, apparently.
Yes. But I'll, you know what? I'm still going to use them.
Okay.
And I liked. I didn't like the Blackhawks one at all.
No.
Nope.
The Ducks. I mean, you got to go with that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The Mighty Duck version and, or the orange one?
Yeah. The Mighty Duck version.
Okay.
Always. I mean, if that's an option, I'm always going to pick it. And the Hurricanes. Yeah, that was, they looked like little spies.
Little spies. So we'll go 3 for 3. I love the Carolina Blacks. They're so cool. I just, every time they play in them, I love them. I always remark on mm-hmm. them. They never get
boring
to
me. And they have like, they win so much more when they play in them.
Is that a new stat, Sarah? Jerseys
it's
per 60.
Yeah. All
right. I like this. We can chart this up.
I like this. Yeah, we need a chart for that. Give me a chart.
Chart me, baby.
I am going to pick, while I do love the Vancouver heritage jerseys that Sarah loved, because they're insane, I love the black, the cheesy ass 70s, like,
oh my God.
Come on, it's amazing. It's so bad. It's
they're
amazing.
They're so bad, but so good.
That's right. Like, they're so bad. They're, like, the Washington ones are just bad. I don't care for those. But, like, the Vancouver yes. ones are so bad, they're good. So I'm a big mm-hmm. fan of the Vancouver black ones. And I also love the when St. Louis threw back to their 90s jerseys.
The one, is that the light blue one or the one with the red?
The one with the red.
Okay.
That I loved. Again, just give me pure cheese, pure retro, like, ridiculousness. I am totally here for it all day, every day. And again, we are all correct in our takes, just as I promised.
Yeah. As always.
All right, guys. Did we miss anything? Anything else we want to tell our wonderful, wonderful listeners?
Oh, the Graph Me Up is going to be a sticker very soon.
Awesome.
I love that.
Awesome.
Dom actually did. I'm like, I am writing something tomorrow, and then he gave it to me, and then I didn't end up writing it, but I'm writing it right now, so sorry, Dom. It's not a graph either, it's just info, but guess what? I'll take it. But I hope everybody is okay mentally. Check on your friends, check on everybody. Hugs for everybody, love you.
Awesome, yeah, and don't forget, please, if you haven't already, keep continuing to follow us on Twitter at 2_much_man. We put all of our updates there when new episodes come out, when we have merchandise promos. We're going to try and do a couple of those every so often to help you guys take advantage of some lower pricing and some special deals. We're adding stuff there all the time, like Shayna said. And particularly in these times, we just so appreciate the support. Yeah. Our first purchase is going to be a new mic for Sarah. So stay tuned.
Please take me out of this misery.
But we just really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for hanging with us and listening to the show. And keep those nominations for Superlatives and Fuck, Marry, Kill coming. And we will be back with you next week. Take care.